or so. Berents hadn't exercised his mind much about what happened to you when you died. Like most people since the dawn of time, he assumed it all somehow worked out all right in the end. And like most people since the dawn of time, he was now dead. He was, in fact, lying at the bottom of one of his own stairways in Loncre Castle with a dagger in his back. He sat up and was surprised to find that while someone he was certainly inclined to think of as himself was sitting up, something very much like his body remained lying on the floor. It was a pretty good body, incidentally, now he came to see it from outside for the first time. He had always been quite attached to it, although he had to admit this did not now seem to be the case. It was big and well-muscled. He'd looked after it. He'd allowed it a moustache and long, flowing locks. He'd seen it had got plenty of healthy outdoor exercise and lots of red meat. Now, just when a body would have been useful, it had let him down. Or out. On top of that, he had to come to terms with the tall, thin figure standing beside him. Most of it was hidden in a hooded black robe, but the one arm which extended from the folds to grip a large scythe was made of bone. When one is dead, there are things one instinctively recognises.
Hello!
Berents drew himself up to his full height, or what would have been his full height, if that part of him to which the word height could have been applied was not lying stiff on the floor and facing a future in which the only word depth could be appropriate.
"I am a king, mark you," he said.
"Was, your majesty."
"What?"
Berents barked.
"I said was. It's called the past tense. You'll soon get used to it."
The tall figure tapped its calcareous fingers on the scythe's handle. He was obviously upset about something. If it came to that, Berents thought, so am I. But the various broad hints available in his present circumstances were breaking through even the mad, brave stupidity that made up most of his character, and it was dawning on him that whatever kingdom he might currently be in, he wasn't king of it.
"Are you Death, fellow?"
he ventured.
"I have many names."
"Which one are you using at present?" said Berents, with a shade more deference.
There were people milling around them. In fact, quite a few people were milling through them, like ghosts.
"Oh, so it was Felmet,"
the king added vaguely, looking at the figure lurking with obscene delight at the top of the stairs.
"My father said I should never let him get behind me. Why don't I feel angry?"
"Glands,"
said Death shortly.
"Adrenaline and so forth, and emotions. You don't have them. All you have now is thought."
The tall figure appeared to reach a decision.
"This is very irregular,"
he went on, apparently to himself.
"However, who am I to argue?"
"Who indeed?"
"What?"
"I said, who indeed?"
"Shut up."
Death stood with his skull to one side, as though listening to some inner voice. As his hood fell away, the late king noticed that Death resembled a polished skeleton in every way but one. His eye sockets glowed sky blue. Berents wasn't frightened, however. Not simply because it's difficult to be in fear of anything when the bits you need to be frightened with are curdling several yards away, but because he had never really been frightened of anything in his life, and wasn't going to start now. This was partly because he didn't have the imagination, but he was also one of those rare individuals who were totally focused in time. Most people aren't. They live their lives as a sort of temporal blur around the point where their body actually is, anticipating the future or holding on to the past. They're usually so busy thinking about what happens next that the only time they ever find out what is happening now is when they come to look back on it. Most people are like this. They learn how to fear because they can actually tell, down at the subconscious level, what is going to happen next. It's already happening to them. But Berents had always lived only for the present. Until now, anyway. Death sighed.